Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us this afternoon for a teletown hall with Congressman Richard Hudson. And we appreciate Congressman Hudson taking time this afternoon to join us and enlighten us on what's going on in Washington and in these unusual times. Everybody will be muted right now, and if you want to have questions later, we will take care of that. And right now, I'd like to turn it over to Courtney Titus Brooks, who's in our federal office. She's going to give us a little update on the federal level, and then I'll introduce the congressman.
Great. Thanks, Greg. And good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to join you today. So in terms of a federal update, you likely have followed this all in the news or experienced it firsthand. But as you know, back in March, Congress passed the CARES Act, which included the creation of the Paycheck Protection Program and funding for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. Just a couple of weeks ago, Congress passed the Paycheck Protection Program Flexibility Act. So what that does is loosens the forgiveness terms for PPP loans. So now, instead of spending the loan within 8 weeks, loan recipients have up to 24 weeks. Instead of spending 75% of the loan on payroll expenses to be eligible for forgiveness, loan recipients now can spend 60%. So it was meant to make PPP a little bit more flexible for those loan recipients. And meanwhile, the Small Business Administration has announced that they are processing economic injury disaster loan applications for all industries. Recently, as you may know, it was just limited to agriculture, but now it's open for all industries. And while I'm sure the congressman will have an update for House activity, it is unlikely the Senate will consider another coronavirus response bill until the week of July 20th, so in about a month. And I know it seems every day there is new information announced and new revisions that's tough to keep track of. So to help keep track of all these different changes related to PPP and the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, our legal team and research center partner together to share new information and answer questions every week. We have a weekly webinar scheduled for Wednesdays at noon. And if you're unable to join, that's no problem. These webinars exist on our website for you to watch when convenient to your schedule. And if we are unable to get to your question today, or if you have questions in the future, please don't hesitate to reach out to Greg, Hunter, or me, and we will make sure to track down those answers for you. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Greg.
Thank you, Courtney. And just a little brief background on Congressman Hudson. We've known each other for, I don't know, over two decades, I guess. But Congressman Hudson is serving in his fourth term in the United States House of Representatives, representing North Carolina's 8th District, which has changed, keeps going back and forth every time he runs, I think. And Congressman Representative Hudson has championed job growth and has been recognized as a guardian of small business from NFIB. Throughout recent challenges like the COVID-19 pandemic, Representative Hudson has also fought for common sense solutions to support workers and small businesses. Representative Hudson sits on the Influential Energy and Commerce Committee, which works on healthcare and energy policy. Again, thank you, Congressman Hudson, for joining us this afternoon and taking time to talk to us about what's going on in Washington. So I'll turn it over to you at this point.
Great. Well, thank you, Greg. It's such a pleasure to be with you, and thanks for all you do and all NFIB does to advocate for our business people. And you know, you and your team have been a tremendous resource for me over the years. You know, as we navigate these really complex questions, and you know, I appreciate you mentioning common sense, because to me it seems like in every one of these debates, if we can just get some common sense in there and kind of end up at that place, that's where we need to be. And so I just appreciate the relationship we've had and the opportunity to join you today, and look forward to taking a lot of questions. You know, these are challenging times for our country. These are very difficult times for everyone. But you know, America's been through a lot before, and we always come through it, and we are going to come through this. And I believe we're going to come through stronger and better. You know, in times of crisis is often times where you see innovation, and where you see leaps in technology and practices. And I think that'll be true in this case as well. And I think we're already seeing that, you know, business people out there are adapting, and in many cases thriving. But in a lot of cases, folks are still really suffering. So that's, you know, that's what we've tried to focus on. You know, since the beginning of the outbreak, I stayed in Washington. I've stayed at work. I've been coming here in this office every day, and using technology like Zoom and doing teleconferences, with folks back home to try and stay in touch with our business community, with our banking community, with our healthcare providers, elected officials, just doing everything we can do to help folks through this time. And really the most important thing I think for business is just trying to provide liquidity and trying to help people just get through. You know, it's just, who would have ever dreamed we could shut down our entire economy over a matter of days? And it's just been stunning to watch. And it's I know it's a real difficult, scary time for our business people out there. And so that's why, you know, we've worked so hard on programs like PPP, like the flexibility bill that we passed most recently, really in response to what we were hearing from you, people out in the real world of what you're dealing with. And you know, it's pretty. There were some bumps in the road. You know, anytime you try to roll out a new federal grant program, usually months would be fast, but we did it in about a week. And there were some bumps in the road, but you know, we're navigating those. We're still continuing to navigate those. But you know, we have seen a tremendous bipartisan response from Congress, which isn't always the case, in trying to help people get through this crisis. So we'll continue to do that. I think, you know, there are a number of things still on the table that are really important, that need to get done. I think top of that list is liability protection. Something I was hearing from folks, you know, very early on and have been talking about. I was very gratified when several weeks ago, Senator McConnell started talking about it. In fact, he said, we're not going to have another bill unless liability protection is part of it, and really threw down a gauntlet. And I was so thankful to see him do that. And that really gives me a lot of hope. Because on the other side of the aisle, you got Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats who want to help trial lawyers. They don't want to help business people. And so, you know, they don't have any interest in liability protection at all. But by Senator McConnell elevating that as sort of, you know, his red line, that gives me a lot of hope that we'll be able to get there. You know, I'm happy to, you know, I'd like to hear some feedback from folks today about what other issues are really important to you and what you're, you know, what challenges you're still dealing with. But I know that, you know, unemployment insurance has created a challenge for everybody. You know, we put an additional $600 supplement on unemployment. That was something that the Senate did last minute, and a lot of us argued against at the time and said that it's a bad idea, because in some states you're going to have people making more money not working than they would working. And, of course, you know, folks on the left said that'll never happen. It's not a problem. And they put it in, and what we saw immediately was an impact from that. A manufacturing facility in Wilmington, one of the owners called me and said they'd had a meeting of their employees. You know, this was very early on in the shutdown. He said that they were meeting with employees to explain to them all the precautions they'd taken at work and how each station was going to be separate and safe. And at the end of the meeting, one employee said, well, I just read this new bill and it says, if I feel unsafe, I can get this unemployment money. And so all 30 employees walked out. And so there are real world examples that this is really happening. And I hear from employers today who are trying to reopen. I was talking to a restaurant owner recently who's set up a pretty good takeout business and now is able to do outdoor and is trying to expand that and can't get employees to come back because they're making as much money sitting at home. So that's a real challenge. That's something that we're continuing to look at and explore ideas. One idea I've heard is that we give $600 to someone who starts a new job. So actually make it a employment check instead of an unemployment check. So if you go back to work, we'll give you a bonus. So those are some of the ideas we're kicking around. But, you know, be interested in hearing kind of your perspective on that. The other issue I'm hearing about has to do with the paperwork when you're rehiring folks. A lot of this is state level, dealing with the State Employment Security Commission and the governor. But we've begun conversations with the governor about this. We're looking at what we can do from the federal level to streamline paperwork in this case. But this is something that we're well aware of and looking for solutions for. But barring that, I'd rather stop talking at you and take your questions and talk about what's on your mind.
Thank you, Congressman. And we've had – you touched on several issues that our members have sent questions in, emailed or whatever to ask, have us ask you. And one of them that you touched on is that, the $600 a week, and which you just alluded to. But do you think that that Congress will allow that to lapse, or when it expires, do you think in July, do you think that the mood up there is to extend it? Is that a huge partisan thing? Because our members are saying, you know, we can't get them to come back to work, get our employees to come back to work because they're making more with unemployment and the $600 than they are here. So it's a problem as the state reopens. So, you know, what kind of move are you hearing or is being talked about as possibly letting it lapse in July or extending when it expires?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, there is a philosophical difference in Washington. It's not always party break particular, but there are those who think the government and a society as big as ours ought to take care of everyone and there ought to be safety nets and you know, they support the poverty programs we have in place. But there are those of us like me who look at our welfare system and realize that it traps people in cycles of poverty because it rewards bad behavior, and then if you start doing, you know, working and producing and starting to make it, then it rips the rug out from under you and drops you back into poverty. And so, you know, philosophically, I have a problem with the $600, the way it's structured, and a lot of folks do. But if you talk to Nancy Pelosi or a lot of Democrats here, they are determined that they're going to extend the $600 indefinitely. I mean, they'd probably extend it for 2 years if they could. So it's going to be a real fight, and you know, this is going to be one of the contentious issues when we get to whatever the next package looks like. Again, if it were me, I would say at the very least we got to condition it like we do with regular unemployment, that you have to be seeking employment to continue to receive it. So you have to certify that you've gone out and talked to employers, you know, taking job interviews, that sort of thing. It ought to at least be conditioned on that you're seeking employment. And you haven't been able to find it because, you know, as the economy's starting to open, you know, and by the way, that's one of the most important things right now is we've got to get this economy open. I've been frustrated with Governor Cooper. You know, I think he's opening a little too slow, and I think he's picking winners and losers in places where the science doesn't back what he's doing. You know, why can a brewery open for outside service but a bar can't? You know, there's a lot of examples like that. You know, I had a bunch of dance studio owners reach out to me. Dance studios aren't allowed to open, even though you can stand 6 feet apart and do your lessons. But summer camps can open and other things. So just there's no logic behind what the governor's doing, and we've got to get people back to work. We've got to get the economy open. But we're starting to see that activity, and we're starting to see people try to find employers. And so I think just a straight extension of it's the wrong thing to do. And so, you know, if we're not going to let it lapse, I think we'll at least put the restrictions on it that you normally have on unemployment payments, that, you know, people can't just sit at home and not look for work and collect the benefit. But, you know, I actually would love to see the idea that I mentioned earlier, you know, let's switch it. And if you get a new job, you get the supplement. So we encourage people to go get jobs. I can't really tell you how it's going to end up. You know, this is going to be one of the big contentious issues. You know, does it end up being something we have to trade in terms to get liability protection? You know, maybe. You know, I'm just not sure. And I, you know, love to hear from y'all. What do you think that'd be a fair trade? But, you know, it kind of comes down to that. It seems like in the Pelosi speakership that, you know, to get things we want, to stop things we don't want, you have to compromise and you have to give and take. So, you know, I can't really tell you with any certainty where it's going to end up, but I can just tell you that there are a number of us on the Republican side, and I think probably the majority of the Senate, who don't want to see a straight extension.
Let me open it to the callers, and I'm not sure. Do they unmute? Raise their hand, Hunter. How's the best way?
Sure. They could either submit a question through chat. If they want to raise their hand and ask it themselves, that's fine. If anybody has a question, go ahead. Let me know.
I see a hand waved here at the bottom. I don't know if you're looking the same thing from Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon. Go ahead and let me unmute you. And you could unmute yourself, actually, and ask your question.
All right, can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
Great. My question is about capital. And one of the concerns that we have is that our balance sheet is going to look like junk for about the next, I don't know, 3-6 months. I hope no longer. And there's a lot of pressure on the banks. They still are overregulated in terms of their, well, I guess they have no discretion really anymore in what they do. It's all ratios and percentages and all those kinds of things. Looking at EIDL was an option for us, and it looked like a very attractive option until the $2 million cap became $150,000 or something like that, that was available to pay out when they started spreading it amongst the money that they had to give out. So I guess my question would be, is anybody working on anything that will give some relief to the banks that would in turn give some relief to us, or doing some plus ups on, the EIDL program or some other programs, 7As or some of the other programs outside the real estate things through SBA that would allow the banks some discretion, or a little more leeway in what they have in healthy times of an economy, what they've been able to do. That kind of is the broad question. And I'm sure you can understand that, that's going to affect our 330,000 members and a whole bunch of companies that aren't. And those are our customers and our suppliers and things like that.
Yeah, great question, Gordon. And the answer is yes. I mean, this is, you know, it's been a problem really ever since the last economic crisis, where we basically decided to treat every bank the same, and, you know, community banks the same as, you know, Bank of America and others. And, you know, so there, we've had efforts to try to loosen these restrictions, give a little bit more decision-making power to banks overall. When we put in the PPP program, one of the things we did is allowed them to look at your balance sheet before COVID, not at your current balance sheet. And so we tried to give some flexibility from that standpoint. Also, you know, we tried to use the Fed to provide liquidity to banks. So buying those loans quicker, you know, getting liquidity to banks quicker. There's been a number of kind of emergency measures that have been taken. And really Secretary Mnuchin has been great. He understands this. And, you know, we worked through a number of issues with him where he was able to work through some of these problems without a legislative fix. And so we're continuing to try to work through that through the Fed, particularly of making more money available, with less strings, trying to make banks, you know, more liquid, you know, and again, giving them the flexibility of looking at the balance sheets pre-COVID, rather than looking at current situations. And, you know, we do need to probably put more money EIDL and other programs. You know, that's something we're definitely looking at. And I know Mnuchin's also looking at how to do that through the facilities he has and the flexibilities he has. So that is a real issue, and it's something we're continuing to try to work through.
Any other questions from on the line? We had a question emailed in on what you've already touched on, is the liability. And right now, I don't know, in the state legislature, this afternoon, a liability bill passed the Senate Judiciary and Rules and will be on the Senate floor this afternoon. We have a huge business coalition working to get that passed, and hopefully not having problem with it in the House when it gets over there. It's on the federal level. What kind of liability protections are being discussed for nationally? You're muted.
Sorry about that. Got muted. So there is precedent for blanket liability on the federal level. We've done this in disasters in the past, and so this is not an extraordinary reach, in my opinion. It makes perfect common sense, and you know, we're already seeing lawsuits pop up. I mean, Walmart was the first, but you know, there's lawsuits popping up all over the country, and. You know, it's a real issue because, you know, any employee that gets sick can sue any employer. And, you know, how are you going to prove they didn't get it at the bar or at home or somewhere else? And so this is a real problem. But we have dealt with it before in natural disaster times where we've had this kind of liability protection. So it's not a reach. And you know, the only problem is that you've got the majority in the House, supports trial lawyers over business people. And they don't have a problem with lawsuits popping up everywhere. The fact that, Mitch McConnell has really kind of drawn that red line in the sand, in the Senate and said, we're not going to have another bill that doesn't have these protections in it. To me is, as I said before, was very comforting. And, this is certainly going to be, my top priority in the next piece of legislation that we move, that it's part of it. So know that Patrick McHenry and the folks over at the Financial Services Committee are working on this language. I know the folks in the Senate are. I haven't seen specifically how they're doing it, but I know that there's some that there is precedent for, and so we're not making this up from whole cloth. We're just looking at what we've done before in terms of protecting businesses, that if you're following reasonable precautions, that you'll have protection.
Eddie, Weatherwell on the call just typed in the chat room and said, thanks for taking time with us today. And he's got a question about infrastructure, and he says infrastructure revenue has dropped significantly due to COVID-19. Of course, we all know that because of the tax revenue and everything from gas. But as you may know, the North Carolina Department of Transportation is now below their cash floor, which is resulting in no new contracts for construction or engineering. Is there any conversation regarding looking at additional funding, I guess federal funding for infrastructure?
Yeah, absolutely. And, this has been one of the big disappointments for me, this Congress, because, obviously President Trump talks a lot about infrastructure in his campaign. He is very eager to get an infrastructure bill done. But in the House, there's basically a roadblock thrown up that we're not going to do an infrastructure bill. Despite most Republicans and Democrats in Congress want to see a bill. And then, once we got into this coronavirus shutdown economy, I think for a lot of us, we're saying, look, the kind of money we're spending right now, sending direct payments to people and the other things we're doing, we're talking trillions of dollars now. We're, right at $3 trillion of spending. We basically spent in 2 months what Congress normally spends in 3 years. Now's the time. If we're going to be spending money like this, why don't we spend it on infrastructure where you're going to have a lasting return, where you're going to create jobs in the short term, but you're going to have, bridges and roads and things in place. It's not just a fleeting check that someone's going to spend. It's actual, something tangible that's going to improve the economy into the future and really have long-lasting impacts. So to me, if we're going to be spending this kind of money, we ought to be spending on infrastructure. And so I think that's a predominant opinion among all my colleagues. Unfortunately, partisanship is still kind of reigning supreme here. We're scheduled to vote on a transportation bill in 2 weeks here in the House. But the ranking Republican on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, Sam Graves from Missouri, was on a call with several of us earlier in the week. And he said the first time in 20 years he's voted against an infrastructure bill coming out of committee. And normally the way the process works is you've got on each subcommittee, as they go through the process of writing the bill, you have the chairman and the ranking members, so the top Republican and top Democrat of the subcommittee, as well as the top Republican, top Democrat of the full committee, they call it the four corners because there's four of them, have to agree on everything that's in the bill. And so in that process, it's not a perfect process and things get left out. But at the end of the day, you get a bill for each subcommittee and then finally a committee package product that is bipartisan that everyone's agreed on. And transportation bills typically have huge votes here in the House. They win overwhelming support because of the process. And it's been that way for at least 20 years. This time the Democrats wrote the bill without input from Republicans, weren't accepting amendments through the markup process this week. And so we're going to have a partisan bill in 2 weeks on the House floor. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but if Sam Graves is our top Republican on the committee is against it, that doesn't bode well. And so I'm very concerned about the process. What that means is, I'm hopeful that we will get to a bipartisan product eventually. But we could be in 2 weeks' time passing an infrastructure or transportation bill, reauthorization bill out of here with a huge support but we've missed that opportunity because of partisanship. So it's very disappointing to me that we've gone down that road on this bill as well. And so I'm not sure when you're going to see relief, but in that bill should be relief for North Carolina and other states. You know, there are a number of big issues we ought to be addressing, like highway funding, which is inadequate the way we do it now. The formulas are outdated. We don't get enough revenue from gasoline sales to pay for everything we need. And so we need a new sources of funding. But if we can't agree on the reauthorization bill, I'm not sure, you know, I don't have a lot of hope that we're going to come together on something as complicated as that. But, you know, I'm going to continue to call for infrastructure spending. I know the president's going to continue to push for it. And so, you know, maybe this summer, as we continue going forward, you know, we might create some momentum for it. So I would just say keep talking about it. Keep talking to members of Congress and the Senate about it. And, you know, we need to create some urgency about it. In my opinion, right now, I don't see kind of a light at the end of the tunnel yet on that. So it's very frustrating. I don't know if you can tell how frustrated I am, but, you know, I'm somebody who ran for Congress to do things. I don't expect to win every fight, and I don't expect to win everything I want. But at the end of the day, we ought to be passing bills and doing the big things that matter, like funding transportation and infrastructure. But right now it's caught up in the partisanship.
Well, I'm sure you know on the state level that Speaker Tim Moore is advocating and pushing a $3.2 billion bond referendum, which would be for education, transportation, hospitals, and a couple other issues that, but transportation and highway projects was one of the big components of that bond that I really think that we will see debated on the state level before they leave town. So maybe between the federal or state, you know, we'll see some infrastructure and transportation money coming from somewhere. Let me ask one other question that was sent in, and that was first, you know, some of our small business owners wanted to say thank you for the PPP money and especially for the change that the bill that the president signed on June 5th, allowing the flexibility, changing it from 8 weeks to 24 weeks and the 75% 25 payroll to 60-40, because I was getting a lot of calls from our members saying, you know, I applied for the PPP, I've gotten it, the clock has started, we're still in a stay at home, I can't bring my employees back, I'm running out, getting to, you know, past the middle of the 8 weeks, there's no way that I can make this work. And so thank you for helping pass that flexibility on that. But do you think that there will be at some point maybe another round of assistance for small business? I know there's still some money in the PPP pot, but do you think that we'll see in July another package or anything pop up?
Yeah, I think there will be another bill. You know, there's when is the question that, you know, we're not sure about. You know, the Democrats in the House passed a bill, I guess a couple weeks ago now. It was a $3 trillion bill. Again, it was written in Pelosi's office. They weren't asking for any input from us. And they passed it just on a straight line party vote. It was a non-starter in the Senate from the beginning and really kind of a wasted exercise. But, you know, there are a number of things that they were asking for that we agree with. But you know, my perspective, we just spent $3 trillion. Most of that money hadn't been distributed yet. I didn't see the need to put more money out there without knowing what the real needs were going to be. And so I think, you know, if you hear the president or Senator McConnell talk about, you know, sometime in July, you know, maybe end of July, the Senate taking up their bill. You know, I think by then we'll know sort of how things are going and where the needs are. And I think some of these accounts will be spending down more. I think certainly more support for small business will be on the table. You know, there was bipartisan support for that all throughout this process with the CARES Act and with the supplemental PPP bill that we passed, you know, had broad bipartisan support, which is a good thing. And so, so I do think there will be additional support for small business. I think we've got to continue to look at issues like Gordon raised with, access to liquidity. You know, what kind of restrictions are we putting on banks? I think the other issue that's not getting a lot of talk is there are a number of, small businesses, particularly minority-owned small businesses that don't have traditional banking relationships, and they weren't able to access the PPP program. We're seeing a decline in minority-owned businesses much greater than what we're seeing in other businesses. And so I think there'll be a lot of interest in making sure that we're creating enough flexibility within the banking system so that everyone can take advantage of it. And my hope is too, you know, I talked about us coming through this stronger and learning from this and innovations. You know, I hope that some of these emergency steps that we're taking, we can look at this at the end of this and say, why don't we make that the new rule? You know, that actually worked better. One example being with PPP, rather than running through the traditional small business lending process, which anyone on the call who's tried that knows how arduous that is and how long that takes, we designed it so that businesses could go directly to lenders, and our hopes were they'd go to the lenders they already had an existing relationship with, so it could be a much quicker process. But why can't that be the new normal for all small business loans? So I think in short term, medium term, you're going to see a bill probably this summer. My hope is that as the economy continues to open and things continue to improve, that what we're looking at is a, you know, recovery bill rather than a, you know, another bailout bill. You know, and we're asking questions like, what is it going to take to help small businesses grow and thrive? Not what do we need to do to save small business from this disaster? I'm hopeful that we can start looking forward to some of these other ideas like I'm talking about. Not just, you know, let's make more money available, but what can we do to strengthen the process for small businesses? What can we make it, what can we do to make, so small business can be more successful, get the government out of the way, in most cases. So I do think, you know, there's definitely going to be a bill. We really think we ought to be very judicious about it because I was on a call like this with my county commissioners about a month ago, and sometimes I'm a little too honest, but they were talking about the huge budget shortfalls they're dealing with, and they're very significant. Places like my home county, Cabarrus County, you know, we have a huge income from sales tax revenue because we have a lot of tourism in Cabarrus County, and so we're seeing a huge hit. Different than other places, but I said to the county commissioners, look, federal government doesn't have any money. You know, we take all our money from your pocketbooks, but we've spent all that already. We're now borrowing money for everything we're spending. And we can't borrow enough to make all of you whole. I'm saying to the commissioners, I'll do what I can to help get more money available to the state that can go to you to help. But we can't borrow enough money to make you whole. We've got the way we're going to get out of this is not to spend our way out of it. It's to grow our way out of it. And we've got to get the economy open. We've got to allow businesses to open and we've got to grow our way out of this. And I really think, you know, that's going to be the focus on this next piece of legislation is what do we need to do to help the economy continue to grow and get this recovery going, versus what kind of emergency steps do we need to help people just get by? So there's definitely going to be legislation, but I wouldn't look for it before the summer. Probably looking at August, early August. But there will be help for small business. No doubt about it. It's just important that we continue to hear from you about what those specifics that you really need are and what's most helpful, and what things you aren't able to access because of limits and restrictions and other things. That's all going to be very valuable information for me and my colleagues.
Okay, am I on? Sorry about that. In closing, I want to thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon and remind the callers and our members that they can go to our NFIB COVID-19 landing page on our website or the Engage app. They can share their stories on that. or contact you, contact elected officials, they're able to contact, Hunter or myself, Hunter Loggins. We're recording this, so this will be available on our webpage and, for our members to go to and listen. And we just want to again thank you for the support you have given small business owners and the small business community, the 8 years you've been in Congress, and, you were truly deserving of the Small Business Guardian Award that you have received. I think it probably every year since you've been there. I know your time's valuable, and our members appreciate all that you do. So, if you have any closing remarks, just welcome to say that, and then thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely. Well, it was a real pleasure. I wish we had more time. But let's keep the conversation going. And I would just say, folks that are in my district, please reach out to me if I can be helpful. Our website is hudson.house.gov, G-O-V, and on that website, our office phone numbers are there. We're working every single day for you. And, if you're having trouble, whether it's, trying to navigate some agency or program, please let us know about it. We'll try to help. And it's important that I know what you're going through, so we can try to address that up here. But I work for you and get up every day and try to do everything I can for the folks in my district and keep this country moving, get things open, and let's get through this to whatever the new normal is going to look like. But as tough as things are, I know we're going to get through it. And anytime I get down, all I need to do is look at the laundry list I'm keeping of all the businesses out there who are stepping up to help your neighbor, whether it's folks who are manufacturing PPE and hand sanitizer instead of what you normally manufacture, whether it's, the businesses who are feeding people, who are, providing assistance to your neighbors. It's just been tremendous to see Americans stepping up and helping their neighbor. And it's not a surprise, because that's why this is a great country, and that's why I know we're going to get through this. So thank you to all of you for the time to be with you today. And please reach out and let me know how we can be helpful.
Thank you, Congressman. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.